God bless you. You make welcome again, Brother Tom Gillum, as he comes to continue the series for us. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Billy.
Bless your heart, preacher.
I love you.
Love you.
Appreciate you. If you have a Bible this morning, you find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. He's going up and I'm going down. Appreciate the messages this morning. Appreciate the message last night. I guess one of the joys of being the last man on the totem pole is to sort of see how things are going. And it's always a blessing to know you're going the same way.
Amen.
Makes you want to say, wow, there must be a God in heaven.
Yes,
it's arranging the whole thing. We have been since Sunday morning preaching on the simplicity of being simple. And we are very complex beings, so it's extremely hard for us to be simple. As we've said every service, we're the first generation to be the busiest of any generations ever come before us. And we're the busiest at doing nothing that we have ever been. Probably accomplishing less eternally than any generation has ever lived. And really think we're accomplishing much. But as we look at our forefathers and those that have come before us, we're accomplishing so little. Simplicity of being simple, little phrase. This one thing appears five times in the scriptures, over hundreds and hundreds of years of Bible history, not always made by the same Bible character. But they all joined the simplicity club. They narrowed their lives down to one thing. Blind man joined in John 9. He had very short testimony. What you want to have somebody in for your men's retreat or somebody, you want to keep it short. This guy's short. It's only one sentence. He gives his whole testimony. He said, this one thing I know, he said, I was blind, now I can see. He said, that's all I know. He didn't even know Jesus. He never seen him before. But all he knows is he's blind, he can see. The simplicity of deliverance. We notice Paul joined Philippians 3. The simplicity of doing. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We noticed yesterday in Psalms 27 that David joined the simplicity of desire. He said, this one thing of I desire. Brother Tom quoted that verse this morning. I want to go to Luke chapter number 10 this morning. And we see from the scriptures this morning that Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, she joined. You say, preacher, how can you be so sure she joined? Well, Jesus says she joined. I tell you, if Jesus said you joined, you sure joined up the Simplicity Club.
Yeah.
And I want to see in her life this morning the simplicity of devotions. Simplicity of devotions. In Luke chapter number 10, beginning to read verse 38. And then it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But she gonna join. Jesus said she did. She gonna simplify the life down. Martha's a very complex being. Oh, gracious, she's complex. But Jesus said, you Mary, she's just a simple person. She's real simple. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Simplicity of devotions. Again, to unpack this text this morning, I noticed that there's some words of correction about devotions this morning. Do remember this morning that both of these ladies are believers. I don't doubt you'll see both of these ladies in heaven. Both of them loved Jesus, and he loved both of them. They're both here this morning. There's some people here this morning that's very complex, busy, 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 busy. And then there's some very simple people here this morning. Matter of fact, if you was to look at the simplicity of their life, you might would even say they're lazy. Oh, Christian, we don't do nothing. Sit around. They may have more contact with God than you've ever had. Simplicity. They're both here this morning. More than likely, this is Martha's house. She wanted to prepare a nice meal for Jesus. Of course, don't forget, if you're going to have him over for a meal, he's going to bring 12 people with him. So that it's not going to be a snack. Not going to be a little meal. The preparation for this meal seems as though it has worn Martha out. She's probably on a fixed income. You know, you can get busy doing good and wear yourself out. She has worn herself out as preparing a meal for Jesus. She confronts our Lord and asked him in our text, she said, bid her therefore, in verse 40, that she help me. She said, because I'm serving alone. Time out. You are immediately confronted with the fact that Martha has absolutely zero concept of God consciousness. She does not know that he can be in the living room and the kitchen at the same time. And she feels like he's in the living room and she's in the kitchen by herself. You ever get like that? You think, man, I'm the only one at this church doing anything. Sure enough. Well, if you feel like that, you must feel like God left you. And you feel like he's a liar when he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And she comes to Jesus, probably standing between the kitchen and the living room, and she's probably leaned in there. Got that arrogant way to her. And she bid her, therefore, that she help me. I was interested in the fact that Martha wants Mary corrected for not doing what she is doing. But instead, he's going to mess up Martha's apple cart. He's going to correct her for not doing what Mary's doing. You ever talk to God about correcting people and he go to correcting you while you want them corrected? Oh, my. And here in verse 41, he said, Martha, Martha, I don't know about you, I'll not speak for you. When I was growing up, my mom and dad would use my name twice together. It was never to compliment me, never to applaud me. And if they used the whole thing, John Thomas Gillum, no. Ooh, no, come here, boy, I want to applaud you. No. Oh, no. Martha, Martha, double name. It tells her in the text, that verse 40, she's cumbered about with much serving. That little word, cumbered, overoccupied with busyness to the point of mental division.
careful, anxious, promoting one's interest or agenda to the place of trouble. She is focused on her one thing, and she is missing his one thing. Please, 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 don't focus on your one thing and miss his. Extremely dangerous for you. He tells her in verse number 41, says you're troubled, you're careful. That little word careful means to be anxious in promoting one's own interest. Troubled, disturbed, disquieted, mentally disturbed, easily upset or offended. Oh, how many in Baptist church today get offended?
Oh, you just don't know how much they hurt me.
Oh, no, ain't nobody hurt you. God just trying to point at you. You eat up with your one thing instead of getting eat up with his one thing. Because see, if you get eat up with his one thing, it's impossible to offend you. He said great peace that they that love his law and nothing offend them. Nothing offend them. Oh, how easy it is this morning to get zeroed in on our one thing and miss his one thing. Have the Bible there this morning. Not only we see words of correction about this devotions, but we see words of consideration about this devotion. The Bible says in verse 42, Martha said a little piece. She stuck a little opinion in there about, command her to come in here and help me. And in verse number 42, Jesus butts in. But don't you like it when God butts into your little situation? Butting in of God. Oh, how our temporal cares, and we be consumed with them often, and all of a sudden, maybe during a time of prayer or a time of just a lull in a situation, God will butt in and say, hey, have you considered my one thing? I was thinking about the various and sundry times that Paul is well known in his epistles of a little phrase, but God. Have you ever had God just butt in and remind you what he's done? I love over in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, but God hath chosen you. Have you ever just been sitting around and got to thinking about out of all the people that God could have picked, he picked you? I don't know about you. I don't speak for you. If I'd have been picking, I wouldn't have picked me. I'm going to tell you something. He got took when he picked me. I love what old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. He said, it's a good thing he picked me before time, because if he'd have waited in time, he'd have never picked me. You listening to me this morning? God just butt in. You were consumed with all that, but I've chosen you. Old Paul said in Romans 5, he said, but God commendeth his love towards you, that when you became a good boy, he died for you. No, while you were yet an enemy, he said he died for you. You don't find nobody dying for the enemies. He said, I did. I love it over in Ephesians 2. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy. He said, I've been withholding from you a lot of things that you deserve. You consume with yourself. 1 Corinthians 10, but God, who is faithful. 1 Corinthians 2, but God hath revealed it unto us. Why in this world would God come down to Chesapeake, Virginia one Sunday morning? I was a not. I was not interested. I didn't want not God, not anything. And in 30 minutes' time, I left there, as the brother said this morning,
I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
Oh, words consideration about this devotion. Oh, how easy it is to be consumed with our temporal one thing and miss the eternal one thing of God. Word of correction, word of consideration. But I see in our text there's a word of compulsion. He says in verse number 42, but one thing is, you ever see words in the Bible you wish wasn't there? I wish he wouldn't put this word in here, because he really messed a lot of us up sticking this word in here. Because sticking this word in here, this is not a suggestion. Jesus ain't sitting here saying, if you had some time, I know you busy people. If you just had a little bit of time, maybe you could work this in. He had to stick that word needful in there. The little word needful is a little Greek word that means the demands for the journey. This is a demand. If you're going to make the journey from here to heaven, this is the demand. This one thing, Mary getting at his feet. Oh, how this world can entangle us. Preacher, when I'm cumbered about it and when I'm anxious, what should I do? Get at his feet. Get at his feet. When this world entangles me and I'm so consumed with the temporal, what should I do? Get at his feet.
Amen.
Get at his feet. You'll say that seems so simple. Yes, it's the simplicity of being simple. Get at his feet. World loves to entangle us. I was reading recently of a pool in India. It is a grassy pool. And they say often people have fallen into that grassy pool. And in less than 15 to 20 seconds, the grass will entangle them, strangle them, and drown them. And most people are never taken out of it. They can't get them out of it. Wow. Is that not the way of this world, this temporal world? So vying to get us more complex, get us to have deeper roots in this world. What can I do? Here it is. Get at his feet. Words of compulsion. Why do I need to do that for? It is the demand for the journey. Life, take the life out of us. The only way we can be revived is to get at his feet. Words of correction, consideration, compulsion. Can I mention also this morning words of communion? He says in verse 42, but one thing, this is simple. Get at his feet. I want to spend the rest of my time this morning just exactly what is a foot dweller like. How would you even know this morning if you are a foot dweller? Because you know, in the Bible, the people that gave Jesus the greatest trouble were hunters and fishermen. Always had trouble with them, always having to correct them. But you'll never find a foot dweller giving him any trouble, the foot dwellers. What kind of person would be a foot dweller? I'd like to mention first of all this morning that they would be a person of faith, person of submission. Person that doesn't mind getting down low at his feet. Person of dependency. Without him, I can do nothing.
One of the old writers says, one must never fear a fall into sin when they are sitting in the dust at Jesus' feet. I have never had anybody tell me, preacher, I succumb to temptation, I succumb to adultery, I succumb to pornography, and I did it all sitting at Jesus' feet. Never happened. The other Sunday we was at home, and very seldom we ever get to do that. And our preacher, he preaches through the Psalms in the summertime. It's called the Songs of the Summer. And he asked a question from the Psalm, and I was thinking about this thing of a person of faith. And he asked us that morning, what one thing in your life this morning do you think is the most unlikeliest area? The most unlikeliest area in your life that you would ever succumb to sin in? Most unlikeliest area. You would say this one, preacher, I don't think the devil ever get me in that area. Maybe it'd be pornography. I don't know, Josh, preacher. That's not my trouble. Adult, no. That most unlikeliest area in your life, that's where the devil is aiming at. You listening to me this morning? He would love to get you where you don't think he can get you. Amen. Preacher, what should I do? It's off deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Get at his feet. And don't just get there, stay there. He's a person of faith that does that. What kind of person would get at his feet? Not only is he a person of faith, but he is a person who is a student. He's a student. The Bible says there's only reason that she was at his feet in verse 39. She wanted to hear him speak. She wanted to hear a word from him. The word disciple itself means one who studies the teacher and seeks to be like the teacher. Our chiefest joy should be to study him, to meditate upon him, to gaze upon him, to sit like Mary at his feet, to lay upon his bosom like John, to appeal to his love like Peter, to count it as dung like Paul. I read a quote by J.C. Ryles the other day, and if old J.C. Ryles is true, as many of you fellas here this morning passing a house full of people on the way to hell, it's what J.C. Ryles said. He said, one cannot truly be saved unless he has become a student studying Christ. Wow. Old J.C. Ryles said, I don't believe you're on your way to heaven if you're not in your Bible studying Christ. You're listening to me this morning. What kind of person would get at his feet? He's a person of faith. He is a person who is a student getting at his feet. I notice also in our text this morning that he is a person of choice. They're always talking about the free will of man. It's a good place for you to apply your free will. Did you notice what he said in verse 42? He said, but one thing is needful, and Mary, she had an eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Oh, yeah, she could have been in the kitchen. She'd wanted to. It's her choice. She said, I think I'll take that. Well, she took the easy way out. You think that? I believe with all my heart she took the hard way up. I don't know about you, when it's time to get along with Jesus, I can think of a thousand things I need to do. And I have stopped in the middle of being with Jesus and go do the thousand things. Thought it was more important. You listen to me. He's a person of choice. She has chosen to get at his feet. I love this little idea. She's a person who didn't care what people thought. Because you know, us living here in the South, and some of you wouldn't understand this because you don't live in the South, but us living in the South and being the gentleman folks that we are, I mean, if Sister Trudy come in here hollering this morning, y'all just sitting in there, I need some help in here. And some of you would jump up and run in there. She come in there and confronted old Mary. She ain't much. She ain't running in the kitchen. She don't care what she said. She don't care. She never get the meal cooked. She's hearing something that's helping her. She don't care what people think. You listening to me this morning? Oh, I'm talking about what kind of person is a foot person. I notice also in the scriptures this morning is a person of humility. Of course, you're well aware of this. I ain't got to tell you this. This is just simple stuff. Mary is only mentioned three times in the Bible. And all three times you hear of her, she's at his feet. She's at his feet here because she sees him as a prophet. She wants a word from him. We see her over in John 11 when her brother died. She came to him as a priest because she was weary. She wanted to cast her cares upon him. John chapter number 12, she comes again, gets at his feet and worships him as king. Of course, I don't know, they say all the time when he was here upon the earth, he was a prophet. Now he's gone to heaven, he's a priest, and when he comes, he's going to be a king. I don't believe a word of it. You can believe that if you want to. I don't believe it. I believe he's always been a prophet. I believe he's always been a priest. I believe he's always been a king. I close with a few thoughts from the last time she got at his feet, John chapter 12. What kind of person get at his feet? He is a person of faith. Person who is a student, a person of humility, a person who doesn't care, a person who's made a choice. But I see it as a person who is thankful, thankful. The Bible tells us in chapter 12, Lazarus has been raised from dead, and of course, verse 2, Martha's in the kitchen again, and she's cooking. And verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with a hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Personal thanks. This old gal has done busted alabaster box and poured it on his head. Now she's down there on the floor in Middle Eastern economy. Kissing the feet of a man. What in the world? What are you doing down there? I just wanted to tell him thank you. Just want to tell him thank you. I was wondering this morning, when you tell him thank you, when you have your little worship and tell him you're thankful, does it look like Mary's? Because, don't get me wrong, he said he liked hers. Matter of fact, he memorialized her. He said, if you're a gospel preacher, if you ever get a chance to preach, he said, mention Mary. He said, I really like what she did. I don't know. Maybe he don't like your thanks. But he said he sure did like hers. She done bust the alabaster box. I don't know if y'all don't testify to you. I'm not into foot kissing. Ain't never seen no pretty feet. No. I might wash one of yours, but I ain't washing both of them. What in the world?
hell is she doing down there? She's crazy.
Or she just tell him, thank you. That's what feet people are. They're very thankful people. Very costly for her. The Bible says that the odor of it filled the house. Her thanksgiving has left a sin in the house. You could smell a thanksgiving in the house. I've been doing a biographical sketch the last few months of John Hyde, missionary to India for 20 years. They called him Praying Hyde. His daddy was an old-time Presbyterian minister in Illinois, brother, right there where you from, Carrollton, Illinois. And old John Hyde said, at our house, we had family altar every day. And he said that Jesus was the welcomed guest at our house at all times. And he made this statement. He said, we breathed at our house an atmosphere of praise, thanks, and worship at all times. Old John Hyde said, you come in our house, he said, you smell like it's Thanksgiving in there all the time. I was thinking about that. Lifeway, just did a survey of 2,000 families in America. And they did a longevity study of them. Of those who had a family altar at least 5 times a week consistently. And Lifeway came away with the conclusion that those who did that, 95%, man, that's a high rate, 95% of their children were spiritually successful kids in their life. Wow. Are you listening to me? And brother told us a minute ago, you just don't go to church and worship. You can't do it at the house. Worshiping him was costly for her. The Bible says that it probably cost her 300 pence, verse 5. That was a year's wages. Wow. What kind of people get at Jesus' feet? Oh, Lord, they're crazy people with their pocketbook. Do you remember the last time? I know you probably can remember the last time, maybe on Saturday afternoon, that you wrote a check for what you would make in a year so you could get it ready to throw it in the offering plate on Sunday morning. Do you remember that? You don't, do you? Oh, I'm sorry. See, feet people are crazy. They just love to give it. Year's wages. Whole thing. Fill the house. What in the world is she doing down there? Crazy, throwing all that money away. She's just saying thank you. Just saying thank you. Simplicity of devotion. Please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. I never had seen this until just recently. You got your Bible there. I'm bringing this thing to a close. John 19. She had a pound, right? You remember that? She paid a year's wages for it. She busted it, filled the whole house. Whole house smell. Watch this. I never seen it. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I read the Bible for years. I never saw this. Just jumped out. So big, so good. I like to have a spell. The Bible says in verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about. She had a pound now, and it cost her a year's wages. These two nuts have got 100 pounds, and they've gone out there to the graveyard.
wow, if that 1 pound filled up the whole house with the smell of Thanksgiving, they done got the whole graveyard smelling like Thanksgiving. What are them two nuts doing out there in the graveyard? They're just saying thank you to a dead man.
Talking about getting at Jesus' feet, spending time in his presence. I love what the old songwriter said. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say.
Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there when I get a chance. Now, what the songwriter said.
Songwriter said, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep, worship, and pray, while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me. Let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me as holy as he. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. Simplicity of devotions.
What in the world's that? Every time you turn around, she's just lazy.
No, Jesus really did like what she was doing. She wasn't busy. She wasn't a complex. Matter of fact, our generation, so is she just a simpleton. I tell you, she made a mark on Jesus. She made a mark on eternity. And I don't know about you, she's made a mark on me. I'm talking about the simplicity of devotions. Would you stand this morning? I wonder if you're behind on your foot time, just telling him thank you. God gave me this thought last night late, just ran through my mind.
If you have a pressing need upon your heart, you need God to do something that's just urgent, get at his feet. Enter into thanksgiving for what he has done in the past. And let him take care of the future. You just will be amazed at what he will do.
Maybe there's a need of doing that this morning.
Just getting alone with him and thanking him for what he has done in the past.
Eric and Sister gonna come this morning, sing us a little something. Billy doesn't mind. We'll wait in God's presence. My, we've heard messages. The whole thing's gone together this morning. Brother Tom and our dear brother from Wyoming has helped us with worship. Maybe you just need to take a moment before you go eat and just say thank you for what you've done in the past. While they sing, while we wait, the altar's open. God's speaking. You get at his feet.